you, Lord. That was a tremendous line. Jumping jacks, whatever you like. You can be seated. I didn't think I was going to minister tonight at all, but I just was inspired. There is, in the middle of David ministering there, because sometimes what God is doing in the midst of us strums chords that go so far beyond doctrinal understanding or the relay of information. There's heartstrings are being plucked, and there's a resonance like that. There's a resonance that picks up when the voice of the bridegroom, coming through the foolishness of preaching, touches our hearts, and we find recognition. We find recognition in us. And really, that's how we're going home. That's how we're going to get home. God sends forth a sound, sends forth a call, and there's recognition in us, an awareness of a need, awareness of a gap. And I don't know about you, but we look at our lives, I look at my life, and the margins are still certainly wider than what they should be. And reality checks are healthy. It's pretty important to be able to look into ourselves and say, what we say, what we preach, what we believe, we're not there yet. How many are with me? We're not standing yet, and no wonder we walk by faith, because we're speaking of those things that be not as though they were. But you can see what's happening in a people is there's a desire that's being increased. Right. And I'm convinced, see if you agree with this or not, but I'm convinced that the only way you will do this, the way I will do this, is because you want to. If we make it home, yes, it's going to be the strength of God. We're going to be carried on eagle's wings, of course, but you're going home because you want to. In fact, the journey has eliminated every other desire. Until with a pure conscience, we can really come into His presence and say, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Now, Lord, finish it. Because He's not going to finish in you and in me what's been in His heart since the beginning of time. He's not going to finish it in a people that don't want it finished. It is possible to be left at the end of this thing unfinished. But no excuse, but it is possible. We want to be among a people that do not draw back unto perdition, but do what? Believe. Press in until we've actually reached everything that He's called us to. And He's waiting for something from us, a response from us, that He Himself has to be the author of the very thing that He expects you to cry out to Him for. How many have got down on your face before God to pray about something and you just do not know how to pray? When you've reached the place you don't know how to pray, we're probably getting close to the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Most of our crying to God is more like whining. Mine has been. We bring our lists, we bring our suggestions, and so many things are need-based, because we're a people full of needs. We even look in ourselves. I appreciate the exhortation and how we look in the mirror. There's nothing more discouraging in a prayer life than looking at the mirror. Don't take the mirror to your prayer life. I mean, unless you got the Holy Ghost there. Because you're there inspecting, and so many times the margin is yet still so great. You could feel it when Marley was leading praise. There's a cry. We want to be on the mountaintop. And there's an agreement that rises up in us. Yes, Lord, you haven't brought us this far to leave us. You haven't put this word in our heart so that this word would return to you void. And there's an agreement coming into the heart of God's people, and it's a deep cry unto deep. And the cry that God is going to answer is the cry that He puts there. It's the cry that He planted in our hearts. And aren't you glad tonight that you're not the author of this cry? Because the cry that we're an author of is generally based on the things we see wrong with us, based on the things we still think we need. But when God begins to author a new cry deep within us, it's based on a need He has. It's based on a plan and foreknowledge that He has. And He's bringing us into an agreement with His very heart. And I believe this morning that when we enter into an identity and an agreement with the very cry that He puts in us, it compels God to finish that which He's begun. And we're not in the beginning of this anymore. We're in the end of it. I think it's Ezekiel that says, I will yet be inquired of by this people to do it for them. You'll never cry that, and I'll never cry that, till we've run out of our own means. So our journey of affliction, our journey of trials is to bring us somewhere to the end of ourself. Is it Jeremiah that says, who is this that has engaged their heart? How well is our heart engaged with His purposes tonight? That the cry emanating from us is His cry. It's His cry. That's called praying according to His will. And I believe that's the one He's going to answer. The ache to come home. The ache to finish. He's there to complete it. Turn into Numbers with me, if you will. If you can't pray anything else, you can pray, Lord, increase my desire.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. David is exactly right. The spirit of this world, completely opposite to the Spirit of God, is designed to do one thing. Take away hunger, eliminate desire, and amplify all the desires that you already have in this nature. Running to please and satisfy natural desires, but God has got a work in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And really, the only reason we gather in times like this is to recognize an amplified desire for Him, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the only way we'll stop drinking from this world's cup is when our desire for Him is greater than any other desire. It's convicting to realize how narrow the narrow way is when it consists of one thing that I have desired. More than one thing is the broad way. One thing have I desired of the Lord, the narrow way. And a life that is designed both secularly and religiously to so distract God's people, not to stop coming to conventions, not to stop all of this stuff. All you have to do is a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and the one we're all so good at, just a little procrastinating. That's all the enemy needs in my life for me to fall short. A little procrastinating. Mañana, mañana. And it never comes, does it? So it says, iniquity doth already work, and he that now letteth will let. You just keep letting it go on. But you can feel it already, even in the early part of this convention, God stirring us in the praise, in the word, and dealing with us out of the basis of a relationship of Father. Aren't you glad that when we come to Him, Jesus said, here's how you pray. Our Father, assuming a relationship, that there is a relationship that is being developed, and in that developing relationship, there is more accountability that is coming into our lives at all times. Numbers 24. Balaam is prophesying here. You know, it's a very, very familiar. I just want to grab one verse out of here, and I'm not going to be long here tonight. I just wanted to touch on a couple things here in chapter 24, verse 9. It says, he crouched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? I'm asking myself that question. Will I be one to stir him up? Who will stir up this lion? You know, in the beginning of our walk with God, He comes to us as a lamb. And we benefit from the sacrifice of a lamb. But at the end of it, He doesn't come as a lamb. The day of the Lord is a day, it says that one will run away from the lion, and a bear meets him. Or he leans on the wall and a serpent bites him. The day of the Lord is the day of the lion. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation chapter 5, he was weeping, he was crying. Because there was nobody to open the book. But it said the lion of the tribe of Judah had prevailed to open the book. It's the lion that is here at the end of the journey to open the book. How many know you are epistles seen and read of all men? How many know there's seals that are here that are locked up? You have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Why do we not see it? It's not all opened up yet. Who's going to open it? Those who stir up the lion. How's it going to be revealed? Those who call on the strength of the lion to do it for them, to do it in them. A cry that originated with him, recognized and understood by me, and entered into as an intercessory cry, God, God, move and finish that which you've begun. Who's going to stir up the lion? That was the prophecy over Judah. When Jacob prophesied over his sons, it was of Judah. Who will rouse him up? You can look at it in Genesis 49. Same thing. Who's going to raise him up? Who's going to call on the lion? The strongest of the beasts. Do you have some things still in your life that you need the strength of the lion to take down? Do you have chains yet? Ways of looking at things? Strongholds? It's going to take the lion. To uncover, to heal, to destroy, to raise up, God help us. Exodus 35. Just want to pick it up in verse 30. Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and silver and brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahizamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and in fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. Verse 2, pay attention to this. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. It's one thing to know there's work to do. There's another thing to put your hand to it to get it done. It's another thing to be anointed to do it. And I believe that God has, He's given us the anointing to get it done. There should be no more looking in the mirror, woe is me. Look at my past. Look where I've been. I can't do this. He has given us the anointing of Bezaleel and Aholiab that when our hands are put to the work, it is able to be completed. This is not just, I know we say he's got to finish it, but it's not just something that Jesus does. In all of this that has to be done, there is a co-laboring. And it's not setting out to do something based on a Bible study or based on a former teaching. It's based on cunning work that deep within you, the blueprint to get this thing done has been set in our hearts. It's set in our hearts. And there's an anointing to build it and put our hands to the work. But we actually have to put our hands to the work and stir up the lion in our midst and say, Lord, we want to make a new declaration. A new declaration that we're with you in the work. We're with you in the work that needs to be done. He needs my surrender in this work. Who's going to stir him up? Will we recognize that the craftsman, he's in here. There is a proper, I don't know if this is even the right word, there's a proper pride in the work that he can do. There's a proper pride. I think if you build something and you do a good job, you know, you've fitted something and you've all the joints have dovetailed. You stand back and you look at your project, and there's a pride in that, which is different than arrogance. And there's a feeling of such fulfillment and such satisfaction, wouldn't you agree, when you enter into the work with him and you see something drop out of your life that might have been a hindrance for many years. Because you answered a call, you answered a cry that he put there. And you said, Lord, I dare to get on my face before you. And the places that were holding me up before won't do that anymore because the anointing of Aholiab and Bezaleel is deep within. And if I'll put my hands to the work, you'll finish it. But I'm willing to put my hands to the work. Because it's not going to happen if we don't want to. Peter would have never known he could walk on water until he threw his legs over the side and stepped out. It'll be the same for us. One giant at a time. One memory at a time. One chain at a time. Picking it up with the strength of the lion. Book of Amos. Chapter 5. Verse 16. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. How about this on your next job interview? Top of the list. And why should I hire you, ma'am? Skillful in lamentation. I'm qualified. Skillful. It means it's that Hebrew word yada. It means to know how to cry. It means to be intimate and fully engaged with the cry. Not just any cry. Not a whimper. Not a whine. I'm engaged with his cry. That's what makes the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avail much, is because it's not based on what I think my need is. Generally, what I think my need is to be delivered from my present predicament. And most prayer lives are about delivering ourselves from our predicament. Been walking with John Basiliga here the last little while and watching tremendous turmoil, praying together, working through things together. And I watched a transition of a prayer life that is steeped in worry. And he said it here, so it's all right to say it. Where God convicted him about prayer in worry instead of in faith. And so much of our communication with God is with the shutters down. The eyes of our understanding haven't been enlightened to actually reach hold of the desire of his heart and be able to voice it. You can't drum this stuff up. You can spend all day praying and never come up with it unless he himself puts it in you. This is wired. It's an election of God. And if there's a heartbeat in you tonight to climb Mount Zion, he put it there. Amen. Who's going to ascend to the hill of the Lord? If there's any desire to have clean hands, it's because he put it there. Mm-hmm. And the recognition of that cry and the growing in strength as we yield to it and bring it before him enables us to walk a little better every day. Mourning in all of the vineyards. That was what the little Shulamite maiden said. I've been working in others' vineyards. I've been keeping other people's vineyards. But my own vineyard have I not kept. And God calls us to work in our own vineyard. Look at this. This just came to me. Job 17. How many feel like you need more strength once in a while? I'm in Job 10, that's why that's not working. Look at verse 9, in Job 17, verse 9. The righteous also shall hold on his way. And he that hath clean hands, say it with me, shall be stronger and stronger. Has he called us from strength to strength? I believe there's an increase of strength we can expect. Strength of the lion coming forth. What's required? Clean hands. A desire to be cleaner than we've ever been before. A desire to be more honest than we've ever been before. A desire to close the margins and the gaps more than we've ever been before. Not to perfect a doctrine, not to perfect a teaching, but to perfect holiness. That the love of God would be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Or 40 years will be a failed experiment if at the end of this thing the love of God hasn't been shed abroad. I don't know about you, but so many things are growing strangely dim in the face of a cry just to get it right, just to get the hearts right. And I'm convinced that when it comes to doctrine and so many of these other things we like to revelate in, and I love it, God's going to leave all of these differences there right to the very end. I do think there's a time when it says all the watchmen in Zion are going to see eye to eye. But it's the graciousness and the mercy of God to leave and even insert things in our life to effect change. So I told the folks up at Headwaters, it's because of the call. It's because of the grace of God that God elects to insert things into our lives to effect change that would have no longer been possible. Have you ever been in circumstances and situations that if it didn't change, if there wasn't a new instrument inserted in there, there wouldn't have been a change? That's our God that does that. John Clark used to call them implements of our perfection. He knows just when to toss them into the mix. Sometimes they go off like a bomb. Other times they just infiltrate. And all of a sudden you find there's something new working. And God has awakened a new cry. May the lion of the tribe of Judah be strengthened inside of you and I, that we would move from strength to strength. Amen? May the Lord bless you.